Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees' 30-day Alive and Thrive Guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
But here's the thing. You can't just go after China with a cudgel. You have to say we have to live on this planet together. How can we work together to save the planet from climate change? They're essential in that discussion. How can we try to work together with them on issues where we can find common ground?
Yeah, thank you. Just when I thought we were done with this woman, she could just concentrate on her super lefty, quasi communist Silicon Valley, Northern California. There she is. We got Nancy Pelosi back in the new song about China. Yeah, we have to work together, live on the planet together, work on climate change. Whatever. All right. Welcome to the Dana Show, amigo. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And as always, it's an honor to join you from what I refer to as the Dana Show Southern Command. We're still in Texas, just north of the Rio Grande, on Blessed Soil, USA. And it's super blessed soil because it's Texas. You want to say hi online? I'll be checking emails every now and then. And the Twitter thing, at Sergio Talk, and Sergio at KURV.com. Well, as Nancy Pelosi saying, you can't go after China. We have to live on this planet together, and we got to work on the whole climate thing. As far as the climate change thing, if you buy into that religion, which that's what it is, it's a religion, it's a cult, it's lunacy. The environment is dynamic. I just want to say something real quick about it. You know, the environment, our atmosphere, our planet, thanks to, you know, the way God designed it and put it in place, and this little thin layer of oxygen and all the water, massive amounts of water on this planet that can absorb a bunch of this energy and all this green gas stuff, this greenhouse stuff is expelled out into the atmosphere by nature, which is, what was it one friend told me, like 97-98% of all the CO2, all the carbon that we're so afraid of. It, you know, Greta Thunberg and Nancy Pelosi and all the left preaching this religion, which, by the way, I think Greta had to erase some text messages a few days back. I saw somebody make comment on that online. Greta had to erase some text messages that, you know, like back in 2018, she said, you know, this little child, this little know-it-all, little daughter of uber-rich parents from Europe, who homeschooled her and brainwashed her into thinking the planet's coming to an end. You know, that child. It's amazing to me how much the left has shoved that little know-nothing, little high school kid on all of us. Her parents should invest some time in, you know, sending her off to learn real science and all perspective and all studies from science. That kid is intelligent. I'm sure she's very intelligent, but just she's so young, but she's the face and the voice for all this crazy religion, this leftist religion on environmental change. I saw her little face, you know, because I'm always getting books for my 10-year-old who's working real hard to become a million-word reader this year. I'm pushing that book really hard, trying to get him back on track. But tell you one book I didn't purchase. You know, for kids, there's these little books called the Who's This or Who Was, yeah, that's the title. Who was Abraham Lincoln? Who was LBJ? Who was Kennedy? So on. It's, they show you historical figures and pop culture and news figures and allow the children to read, catch up to speed on current events and history. Well, I saw Greta Thunberg at. It was at the Five Below store just down the street from my radio station. Why in blazes are they lifting this know-nothing child? It's probably more a testament of how crazy we've become as a society to accept, as Al Gore once said, you know, the great evangelist Al Gore of this whole global warming religion his, which eventually became climate change, and now they're going back to global warming again, which most recent data doesn't show them. And if you subscribe to that religion, hey, it's a free country. You can believe whatever the heck you want. But I'll tell you what, amigo. I'm grateful that's global warming. I'll put it from this perspective. I'm grateful it is global warming, they say. It's unstoppable. 97-98% of it is produced in nature. Only a smidgen is produced by whatever's coming out of a tailpipe. Or those jets that Al Gore and John Kerry and everybody else is flying around to all these global conferences. The exhaust from their jet planes and all these superstars, Hollywood types and singers and pop culture starlets. They're flying around everywhere in their private planes and advocating for this religion and at the same time, punching a hole in the atmosphere, doing their part to get us there faster. It's only a smidgen of what's really out there. I'm glad it's warm. Because can you imagine, had the predictions back in the 70s, and I know some of y'all are a little long in the tooth, but we got a lot of young ones. And I appreciate you listening to the Dana Show and listening to talk radio and being information minded. Keep at it, amigo. You go online, listen to the Dana Show, the podcast, listen to other friends and other collections online, and never lose it. Always learn something every single day to our millennial audience and our younger audience. So you guys, information minded. Back in the 70s, Leonard Nimoy, Spock himself, and some of these news write-ups and major magazines and studies on how the Earth was cooling. We were headed to another ice age. Yeah. How'd that work out for you? I say this to you because I'm grateful if indeed the oceans will rise and Martha's Vineyard and all those expensive, ritzy condos and private properties on Florida's coast, owned by the uber millionaires, the starlets, the singers, the Hollywood type, even some of the politicians. If all those will be underwater, I just say hold out. I mean, hold out for the day, the year in the future that they start selling those properties off because they're going to be underwater. We can move. We can pack up and go inland in China if the seas will rise and drown all their cities at the coast, because we all gravitate to the coast. We all like the beach, right? That's like humanity always gravitates to the coast. Easy source of water, easy source of entertainment. It's the beach, the water. You have nearby, we get plenty of crops because all the rain come on. For many reasons, humanity always gravitates to the coast. If the planet does warm up, if it does, to the point where we have to run for the hills, there's plenty of land in China for people to run inland. There's plenty of land down here, here in the U.S., and I say down here in Texas, for us to run to. Between where I'm broadcasting from today, which is the studio of KURV Talk Radio in McAllen, Brownsville, Rio Grande Valley, between this southernmost market of the U.S., where down the street you got we're so far south. We got Elon Musk down the street launching rockets into space out of Brownsville. There's 60 miles of empty ranch land, mesquite trees, and all sorts of birds and chiggers, and probably some endangered species between here and 60 miles between the next little town, and then north of that little town, more miles and miles and hundreds of miles or more ranch land to be had. Plenty of miles and acreage in the Southwest and Arizona, New Mexico, California. It's all over. There's plenty of land. Now, at the Leonard Nimoy thing, Spock and his publications, the little specials that he did, had we be free, would we be freezing right now? I think we would be in a world of trouble, don't you think? Like, we need to start creating ice colonies beneath the ice, and where we're going to get the food, and how we're going to grow food. And now, just be grateful. If you subscribe to this religion, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I still don't believe it's going to happen to that cataclysmic level that, for example, Greta Thunberg, I told you moments back. Back in 2018, she was saying by 2023, the Earth was going to come to an end or something like that. She had to go back and realize erase that. We're going to be fine, amigo. Better global warming than global cooling, the whole ice age thing. Man, I got lots of great audio to share with you today. In fact, I'm looking forward to having a conversation with a radio friend. I've had him on my program because here in South Texas, Chris Markowski. Some affiliates, you guys know what I'm talking about. The watchdog on Wall Street. He's a med dog these days, probably because of all the craziness in the market and a couple of these banks that are having to be bailed out. Accounts that are $250,000, give or take a little bit, because I think they were paying a little bit more than $250,000 in some of those banking accounts. But, you know, that bank in California, Silicon Valley Bank, that went belly up a few days back. So Chris Markowski, he should be joining me in a couple of hours. So I want you to stick around for that conversation. He's the watchdog on Wall Street. Federal Reserve, they say they're going to be conducting a full review up and down Silicon Valley Bank following the fact this thing went belly up late last week. So they're looking at all the supervisors, the decisions that were made, the regulations that went into the managing of this bank. Long story short, Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, saying that they're going to be providing a report, a full report, making it public May 1st. So they're going to, man, this is like record in record speed and record time. I think it's probably just an effort to calm any concerns. Now, if you've been paying attention and if you're carrying the Dana Show live or maybe just a little bit on tape, so-called tape delay, because we don't have tape anymore, but audio delay a little later in the show, you've been noticing that on this Tuesday broadcast, the markets have been rebounding really strong today. I'm pointing to another headline in the news for today as a reason that maybe the markets are so strong and you got people with a heck of a lot more money than I do pouring it back in there, see if they can maybe in a short term make some money and putting some investments in there. The Fed, there was some commentary. Goldman Sachs, for example. Here's the headline I have on this one. Here's the write-up. One guy from Goldman Sachs this past weekend saying that as far as Federal Reserve rate increase, the rate and increase in the rates, interest rates, likely no longer expected in the near future, which will be a few weeks from now. All this in reaction to Silicon Valley Bank going belly up late Friday and creating all these jitters and all this nervousness in the market. The, you know, quote unquote financial experts telling everybody, calm down, everybody simmer down now. It's okay. No reason to run toward the bank. So one thing I'm looking forward to asking Chris Markowski, I was going to ask him if that new mattress I purchased to stick all my money in is a good investment for the near future. The market's rebounding today. More than likely as a result of interest rates, the price of money staying as cheap as it is. Relatively speaking, there won't be any interest rates coming anytime soon. So join us for that conversation with Chris, the watchdog on Wall Street. Inflation up. They say the most recent report, it's the consumer price index, 0.4 of a point, which year to year, though, still pretty high at 6%. And I was talking with another economist friend. Maybe I'll have a chance to share my conversation with him next hour. So year to year, we're up 6%. Roll the clock back to around this time last year. You know what we were saying this time last year? Was the annual rate of inflation? 9%. So just stack it up. 9% this time last year compared to the previous year. 6% right now compared to last year. Yeah, I know you're feeling it, amigo. I just round it out, about 15%. But compared to 2 years ago, you and I are paying about 15% more for stuff, consumer stuff this year. 19 minutes after the hour, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. As always, an honor to be with you. We're reporting to you from The Dana Show Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley, Texas.
Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188. 887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
SpaceX saying that they're going to test their Starlink satellites to cell phone service, and they will be using T-Mobile service as their experiment carrier. So good luck if you have T-Mobile. See how that works. Saudi Arabia reportedly seeking guarantees from our country in exchange for normalizing relations with Israel, full write-up in the New York Times late last week. And donate blood, amigo. American Red Cross has a great new marketing campaign. They're trying to increase the number of people that roll up their sleeves to donate blood. You know, vacation time. Right now it's Texas week. It's a spring break all over the country for many schools. They definitely need blood right now because of the response to emergencies. So between now and the end of the month, folks at American Red Cross are going to give everybody a $10 gift card and then put their name into a bigger pool to win a $3,000 prepaid Visa card. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from your Southern Command in South Texas.
Folks, are you concerned about American K through 12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arne. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And it begins. One of the largest banks in the country completely collapsing. Do you know exactly where your money's located? Is it being mismanaged by another woke tech startup? With no light at the end of the tunnel, how do you make sure your investments are safe from being washed away? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
For those of you that didn't notice, Florida was doing great long before Ron DeSantis got there. People are fleeing from New York to Florida and other places because of high taxes and out-of-control crime. It's really bad. Not because of the governor. Thank you, Mr. President, for doing that. But it's not because of the governor. Florida was doing fantastically. You had a governor named Rick Scott who did a
very good job. It all starts with Trump's reference that still digging at him. Ron DeSantis, like sanctimonious. Ron DeSantis. Welcome to the Dana Show. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and more than likely here the rest of the week with you. I appreciate the chance to share the day's news and some commentary, insight from some friends on the front lines or whatever expertise that they have. It's always a lot of fun to fill in for Dana. Sergio at KURV.com or at Twitter at Sergio Talk. All I want to say related to, look, I know it's primary season already, like really early, thanks to Donald Trump jumping in. We got Mike Pence in the news just a few days back saying history will judge. I'm not trying to do an impersonation of the vice president, but, you know, he said history will judge. Donald Trump on January 6th, you know, 44,000 hours of video out there. And you have to wait and carefully edit all. And there was a lot of violence. Absolutely, there was violence. It was embarrassing what took place January 6th. But to only focus on a very few of a small number of individuals that were belligerent and criminal in their behavior and breaking windows and pushing people around and taking swings. This violence was deadly, but not the way the Democrats were trying to spin it. We had it deadly in the fact that it was one. It was like a young woman in the Air Force, right? Was in the Air Force. Young woman got shot dead. She was not armed. I don't even think she had a knife on her, anything like that. Trying to get into one of the hallways, got shot. Killed on the spot by Capitol Police. The narrative on this has been spun by the left way too long. The revelation of all this new video and almost the tour guide fashion, and taking some of these protesters around, and police standing around, almost opening doors, and following some of these folks who are just calmly walking the halls. The American people need to see all that. They are seeing all that. They can make a judgment on all that history. The American people are intelligent enough to see what took place on January 6th. But I'm not going to diminish the fact that this was a blight and a stain. It was the wrong exclamation point at the end of the Trump presidency. Despite that, Donald Trump, in my opinion, one of the best presidents this country has ever seen. An outsider, successful businessman, non-politician. Yeah, can you tell by the fact that this dude has absolutely, it seems like he has no control. He just puts it out there full throttle all the time. And doesn't decide to filter anything. He can't tell Donald Trump what to do. He's Mr. Man. He's dumb man. Well, fine. All I wanted to say about this, because, you know, yeah, Mike Pence out there, you know, throwing that jab at Donald Trump on J6 history. And of course, the leftist media loves stuff like that. They'll run with it. Pence even taking a shot at Governor DeSantis, some of his policies. Boy. Boys, play nice. Boys and girls, play nice. And I'm just, you know, putting in my two cents, and I'm so grateful to have this bully pulpit over here on the Dana Show for just a few minutes. The enemy is the left. The enemy are the radical left. The enemy, politically speaking, are Joe Biden and his ilk, and anyone working in his cabinet representing the radical, crazy, insane left. That's the enemy. Focus on that one page that you could take. In fact, you can go into the Democrat Party playbook and, you know, tear out that page. Just tear out that page on their playbook on the Democrat side. They were in unison during their primary doing what? Attacking Donald J. Trump, weren't they? To them, that was the enemy. And they to this day, they still fear him. They're trying to bring him up on charges, prosecute him for this, that, and the other, just bringing out old dirty laundry, whatever they can, to sully his name, to injure him, to make sure that if and when, and more than likely when he does become the nominee for the Republicans, they continue firing at him, firing everything at him on the legal side, on threats for impeachment, and looking at J6, looking at, you know, old girlfriend porn stars, whatever it is that they can bring up. They need to destroy him in the mind of many mushy, feeble-minded voters who are really not paying too much attention to what is at stake in this country. It's defeating the radical, crazy left. Play nice, muchachos, because anything you say right now will be held and used against the GOP, against Donald Trump in the near future. And you too, Mr. President, Donald Trump. Focus on Joe Biden. Focus on the radical left. That's what you boys need to be doing right now. Spoken by a former South Texas GOP Republican chairman down here. What do I know? What I do know is that in Mexico, we got some nasty drug violence south of the border. And as I was saying on my program just a few days back, you know, this attention, national, international attention to the cartel violence just south of the border. I told you, I told folks here in South Texas, and maybe I had a chance to share this on air with some other market. It's going to be short-lived. It was short-lived. It's gone. The cartels, like cockroaches, they do not want the sanitizing sunlight, you know, light of the sun, light of the media on them. They don't want that. In fact, they apologize. If you don't know this, after those four Americans from South Carolina, two were killed, two kidnapped, almost immediately released. It's a miracle they were released because this hit the headlines. This hit national news. Even the White House responded. Joe Biden said this was unacceptable what happened. Two killed, two kidnapped. They were released. They even, the cartel just south of the border from us here in South Texas, they coughed up five individuals and an apology letter. They don't want any attention. This is nothing new. I called a friend of mine, Dr. Tony Zavalet, the local professor, and he's been writing about the occult and drug running for the longest time. I called him because back in 1989, there was another high-profile case. Mark Kilroy was in the news, University of Texas at Austin, spring break student who disappeared. So to some of y'all, this will be something new. So I asked him to tell me about that case from years ago and, of course, his new book. So there you go, Steve.
The spring semester of 89 began like any other, and I was teaching a sociology class of about 100 students, and I'll come back to why that's important in a minute. In March, during what they call Texas Week, hundreds if not thousands of spring breakers descended at that time on South Padre Island, and many of them crossed over to Matamoros. Unfortunately, on this one particular night, Mark Kilroy, a University of Texas student, was abducted by what turned out to be a horrible cult, and he was killed. In fact, he was sacrificed ritually. Wow. And that's what that case was all about.
Drug runners, right? They sacrificed him for...
That's right.
Right.
You have to admit that any group that would kill people and sacrifice people must be satanic. They were practicing, or at least their leader, who died later, a couple of weeks later, was shot by his own people. They were practicing a Afro-Caribbean cult, of which he was a priest.
He did it in order to receive some sort of spiritual benefit for his criminal activity, his drug running or his criminal enterprise?
That's exactly correct. Yeah. In fact, his group had, by the time that Mark Kilroy was abducted and killed, they had already killed as many as 15 local people in the Matamoros area, and it was all for the purpose of his gaining so-called spiritual power to primarily protect themselves from discovery from the Mexican police as they were crossing drugs into the United States.
What do you remember as far as how they found Mark Kilroy?
Well, you know, I had a very sobering experience because this ABC flashed a picture of the house, so-called house shack and corral, where these most recent abductees were being held.
Yeah.
And it was almost identical to the Santa Elena ranch where Mark Kilroy was being held. And that was a very scary sight and thought that those things now, 34 years later, are still taking place. I'm sorry, I wandered off from your question.
No, it's okay. No, I'm saying how they found Mark Kilroy. Where did
they
find him?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there was a search that went on for him for several weeks. It was determined they eventually found to the west outside of Matamoros, and that's where, I mean, I was on the Brownsville City Commission at the time, and I recall the sheriff and a Mexican officials coming to a city commission meeting and asking me to step out, which I did, and would I accompany them to Matamoros because they thought they had discovered the ritual killing site. And of course I did that, and I knew a lot about it because I had been I had been studying that, and I had been to Puerto Rico and many other places studying Santeria and its variants. I went with them, and of course, the remains of Mark Kilroy were there. His brain, his heart, his sexual organs had been placed in a cauldron.
My goodness!
And that's the so-called Nganga, which was the cauldron of power of the leader Constanzo. And so that's how he was discovered.
Amazing.
It's terrible.
Dr. Tony Savaletta, an old friend, he taught for many years.
Yep.
Talking about a case from a kidnapped spring breaker back in 1989 by the name of Mark Kilroy, who was killed in human sacrifice by the occult, by a drug runner, who wanted the powers of this sacrifice for his drug trade. You had mentioned that you were teaching a sociology class of 100 kids back then.
Well, thank you. Yes. As a matter of fact, there were three people in that class who were members of the cult. One was Sara Aldrete, who's been in prison in Mexico City. In fact, I think she served her term. I don't know, she may be out. Her sentence was for 30 years. And then two of their Hernandez brothers, who were cult members and drug runners. So there were three people in my class.
Wow.
Who it's hard to understand or even believe, but over time it became very significant.
That is amazing. They were in your class. So what gave it away? Every time that they walked in, it smelled like sulfur? Or what was it that gave it away?
Well, okay, that's a good question. It didn't smell like sulfur. It could have, but this young woman, like any other Texas Southmost College student at the time from Matamoros, was wearing beads, colored beads, which are common to Santeria and all the other Afro-Caribbean religious cults. And I noticed them, and I didn't ask her. I thought that would have been inappropriate for me to ask her, why are you wearing those beads? But I certainly noticed them, and I knew that she was somehow affiliated with an Afro-Caribbean religion or cult. And sure enough, she was.
Let me close with some mentions about your book. Dr. Tony Savaletta, Texas Southmost College, University of Texas, Brownsville, for many years. He's got a new book, Your Grandmother's Guide to Hispanic Folk Remedies and Advice. Tell me about this book.
Well, you know, I've studied and collected remedies and advice from people who were not just curanderas, but many of them were.
To some in the audience, what is a curandera?
That's simply a Spanish word for a person who heals, a healer. That's all it is. And many of them are elderly women. And so I've collected remedies. And I've published 6 books now, and this is my most recent. And I thought it was time to get as many of those remedies and other folk advice that I've collected into book format. And it's a wonderful read. It's very, very economical. It's not very expensive at all. It can be reached on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Do you mention the take a cold egg out of the fridge and let grandma rub your body up and down, you feel better all of a sudden?
Sure. Of course, all that's in there.
Yeah.
The so-called limpia. Yes, that's right. And the Vicks and all that's in the book.
The Vicks, the Vicks VapoRub, people.
That's right.
In Spanish culture, we grab the little jar or grandma and El Vicks, whatever it was, headache, nausea, you break your foot, whatever it is, El Vicks, grab El Vicks and put it on Junior. Put it on the little kid.
Well, that's exactly right.
Right.
Ingredients in the Vicks, a lot of is menthol and eucalyptus, opens up the nasal passages and the airways and the lungs and allows people who are congested to breathe. And so it's very effective.
So people will use it for everything. I know, and this comes from extended family.
That's right.
An eye infection, El Vicks. They put it close to the eye, got into their eye. Because they would use it for...
That would burn.
We'll leave it there. Your Grandmother's Guide to Hispanic Folk Remedies and Advice, the Curanderas Household Healing Traditions of the Borderlands, Antonio Noe Savaletta, PhD, the author.
It's an interesting read. I mean, for the amount of money you pay for it, considering the fact that it took 50 years to produce it, is a good thing.
Thanks to Dr. Tony Savaletta. Again, you want to look for his book. Do the DuckDuckGo search or Google search, Dr. Tony Savaletta. The cameras are gone. The networks are gone. The focus is gone from south of the border cartel. It's gone, people. I knew it was going to be gone within days. But it's still there. Pay attention to the State Department advisories as you go south of the border if you're going to vacation in Mexico. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
It's an honor to be with you, amigo. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I'm in for my buddy Dana the remainder of the week from her Southern Command in South Texas. You want to say hello online? It's Sergio, S-E-R-G-I-O, at K-U-R-V.com. That's the affiliate. And on Twitter, it's at Sergio Talk. A little consumer note, I need to get out there. It's for the babies, the little babies. Oh, little babies. Over 3 million Calico Critters toys being recalled following two reports of choking deaths. Consumer Product Safety Commission saying that these sets were little animal figures sold with bottle and pacifier accessories for almost two decades. And there are a couple of reports of deaths. So it's Calico Critters toys. Those are being recalled. You find those in your collection, throw them out to protect the little babies. Thanks for joining us on the Tuesday edition of The Dana Show. Stick around. More great conversations, news of the day we want to share with you.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
What we have to do is we have to, I've said no more drilling off our ocean, I mean, the whole range, but there has to be the ability to generate some energy. But we can get rid of coal much more rapidly.
Yeah, good luck with that. I love that opener from Dana. She said, you get up at the butt crack of dawn. Well, speaking of butt crack, he's got, man, Joe Biden... He's got his head so far up there. This dude's completely lost. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and we're reporting to you from her Southern Command in South Texas, the studios of KURV Talk Radio here in South Texas. You want to say hi, Sergio at KURV.com or at Sergio Talk. I'm scanning to see if you guys get any questions or comments we need to bring on the show. And man, I appreciate you guys tuning in. I know you're working hard for a living. I know that you're trying to keep everything in the black, everybody living on a budget and making sure we pay the bills, unlike the way things run in government, especially the federal government. Got some enlightening commentary from some friends I check in as far as energy or law enforcement or border security or farmers, whatever is going on. So you stay tuned and join us with those conversations. I One of them, coming up in just a little bit, if you're on a regular clock listening in right now, about 40 minutes after the hour, I got a friend checking in who's an oil economist, because Joe Biden, this little announcement, he's trying to prevent offshore drilling, you know, no more petrol permits offshore drilling. But amazingly, as I got this little comment from President Joe on this one, and part of the news today is Joe Biden saying, yes, it's an amazing announcement. I mean, look at the region he just approved that they go in there and set up some oil extraction. North Alaska. It's in the news. A major oil extraction project in northern Alaska, oil-rich, petrol, mineral-rich North Alaska. And since it is Alaska, first thing popped into my mind, I'm thinking you were thinking the same thing, the former governor there. Drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill. Is Joe Biden saying drill, baby, drill? Absolutely he is for northern Alaska. And as expected, leftist tree huggers and environmental wackos, as another talk radio friend would say for the longest time. Yeah, they're wailing and gnashing their teeth, right? Because for the radical environmental left, man, they want all oil permits, oil extraction. They'd be very happy if all of it stops, as Joe Biden was saying, you know, coal production, extraction stops as well. This is a contradiction, this duality by Joe Biden. What's going on? So I just think, and but almost 30 years of broadcasting here in the news thing and commentary side, I just say follow the money. I don't have the budget. I don't have the Dana staff, the Rush Limbaugh staff. And it would take a much larger staff than that. It would take like major billion-plus dollar and major New York glass tower networks to do the research on this. But it's in the public interest. I think, the way my mind works, I would hope that this idea would spark an assignment editor, a news director up in a glass tower up in New York. Okay, so this project in northern Alaska has, who are the companies? Let's check the companies and the suppliers that are all involved in this. Hey, and let's compare the names of those companies and those CEOs and those major managers and the regional manager and the regional office. All anybody connected has any type of financial link to this northern Alaska project. Let's check the campaign donations for Joe Biden and the Democrats over the next 12 to 24 months. I'm just saying, I think it's easy because those campaign finance reports are going to be flowing, you know, regularly, monthly. It would take a big staff to go in there and extract those. I wonder, you know, if there's going to be some special finance or just the recent past. Check the recent financial donation. One thing that the White House is celebrating is, you know, indigenous people in Alaska will be benefiting from this. Well, one of the first things that popped into my mind when I was hearing this and just incredulous report that northern Alaska has got a drill, baby, drill project. They're going to be extracting oil in northern Alaska. Compliments to Joe Biden giving thumbs up to this project. I'm thinking, then what about Keystone XL? The thousands of Americans and Joe Biden voting Democrats, because pretty much all these thousands who lost their good-paying gigs, who were going to benefit from all these good-paying jobs and the insurance coverage that comes from that and the retirement money that comes from that, all those thousands of Americans, Keystone XL, what about them? What about these Americans and the contiguous 48 benefiting and any indigenous family that they have as well? And isn't all that stuff coming down to us from Alaska via a big old pipeline and regional pipelines as well, you know, similar to Keystone XL? Where are you, Republicans? I'm still going on Twitter looking for you. Yo, Kev, Speaker McCarthy, amigos, where are you? You guys should be sounding this at top of your lungs, screaming bloody murder, or reminding the American people at, on all networks. Now, I know I hear I'm on the bully pulpit on the, you know, top Dana show nationwide, worldwide, but we need this on the networks. We need this hypocrisy, this duality to be exposed and revealed again. Shine a light on this. We need top leadership, Republicans, the House, and Senate. We need you guys making some noise on this. We have tens of thousands of Americans lost their jobs. This oil up in northern Alaska going to come down to us via what, boys and girls? A big old pipeline, a regional pipeline. What is it that Joe Biden killed because of environmental concerns and the indigenous lands? Well, why don't you cut a check to the indigenous people from Keystone XL? We probably would have had that direct connection from Canada down to Houston. Be prospering hand over fist, all these people making money, including the indigenous people. Just saying. Follow the cash. Follow the campaign donations, I say, to big corporate media with all your staff. Put these kids to do something. I'll take a look at this little finance report. And I just think on the other side of politics, this is nothing but a talking point. Because come, what, 2024 and all the campaign commercials, Joe Biden out there and all his ilk saying, well, Joe Biden tried to increase production, increase inventory and American supply of natural of oil and natural gas by drilling in northern Alaska, despite what his political commentators or critics would say, which is pretty much his loyal left. Conversation on this coming up in just a little bit. I got my oil economist friend, Tim Snyder, joining me later this hour on the program. More on that Silicon Valley Bank, that thing going up belly up last week. Here's a little sample of the advertising that these people at Silicon Valley Bank, which, by the way, had you heard of, you guys are working for a living. Had you heard of this Silicon Valley Bank, this SVB is a little acronym. Have you heard of that before? I hadn't. And I'm just sitting here at the Eagle's perch, watching all this information on a regular basis. Silicon Valley Bank. A little bit of their advertising. Steve, it's cut 12. Go ahead, brother.
I think there's a big disparity between the investments and black-led companies than other companies.
We want to help close the Latino wealth gap. I want to be able to help them build generational wealth. I love access to innovation because of what it stands for.
Giving access to opportunities such as training, such as financing, introductions that people would not necessarily get.
This is part of a initiative that everyone is committed to from the CEO down.
It's meaningful work that has to be done.
My name is Beatriz Acevedo.
I'm Dave Salvan, and I'm happy to be part of Access to Innovation.
Banks, like all other businesses, what are they supposed to do? They're not the government. They don't have guaranteed revenue. And this is just a little feel-good commercial, feel-good ad that they're trying to help minorities and the disadvantaged. And I saw another write-up that had mentioned that they were hoping to help blacks, Latinx, which is comical. There's no such thing as Latinx. Women. Every company wants to sound good and look good. I get it. To me, it's a turnoff, to be honest with you. If that is your main focus as a company, as a bank, where you're telling investors, you're telling depositors, you're telling anybody who put their trust in your bank, your financial institution, that is your primary goal, is to do, because it sounds to me that there's nothing more that they will be doing other than to provide the assets you gave them to invest in what many times will be high-risk groups, not money-making groups. Tell me that the money I'm putting into your bank, tell me that the retirement savings that I have, whatever plan it is for college savings that I have, tell me that that cash will be multiplied in the near future. And this whole idea of, yes, we all love to help the disadvantaged. We all want to help hard-working, so-called under, funded, underprivileged groups and organizations to, you know, give them an opportunity to do good, to invest, to open up a business. That's good. But that's not the primary focus. That little Silicon Valley commercial you just heard, I'm thinking if that was their mindset, just trying to look good in the community, being too aggressive in areas that might have been more high risk compared to solid investments that you know are big investments you know are going to get major returns back to the bank, to the shareholders, and to anybody who trusted to put the money in there. You know, there was one report I noted earlier today as I was fishing around for information on this thing. There was one report said that this Silicon Valley Bank, like one-fifth to one-fourth of a big chunk of their investment went into fake money. Now, like crypto. You're probably thinking, well, Serge, probably all money's fake now because we're flooded. The entire market is flooded with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren's cash, all these federal projects, all trillions of dollars of new money. It's not even printed. It's only electronic. So how's that any different from crypto fake cash? Just pretend cash. I think there was a report I saw late last week that cryptocurrency had lost like $70 billion in one day after the earthquake of this Silicon Valley Bank. This thing went belly up. People started running, taking their money out of this thing. That report I saw this morning, one-fifth, one-fourth of their investments had got into crypto cash at Silicon Valley Bank. That's more than likely one of the reasons I think it's probably confined to Northern California. But I'm curious to find out how much of, well, what I call real money, like what I work for, my paycheck, my retirement fund, my college savings fund for my kids, yours as well, how much of that is being gambled by these financial institutions, by the market, in this cryptocurrency. This fake cash is non-existent cash. It's just ones and zeros in a computer. We called up our buddy Chris Markowski, the watchdog on Wall Street. Maybe he has a few comments on this. That's coming up next hour of the program. It's already 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana Lash from her Southern Command in South Texas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my buddy Dana. I was mentioning to you that Silicon Valley Bank, just a little note that I put here in the stack. You know, the employees at that bank on Friday, the same day they went belly up, yeah, the employees still received, Lord knows how much money, cumulative, their annual bonuses. Everybody got their bonus on the same day that they were going belly up. So what does that say to you about the management? So there goes the money. It all went out the door. It continues to go out the door. Everybody running on the bank, and they still hand out the bonuses. My goodness, this criminal behavior. Let's see. Oh, bizarre story from New York. A doctor up in New York going to jail for more than a decade. He was prescribing oxycodone for sex, cocaine, and cash. The Lord knows how many people. Howard Adelglass was giving out those prescriptions and receiving sex acts, cocaine, cash payments. 12 years in prison for this guy. And at the box office this past weekend, it was Scream 6, $44 million. And it was Creed 3, $27 million on its first weekend. If I want to see a fake fight, I was thinking I'll just probably just tune into WWE, the wrestling thing. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
He's absolutely a magnificent leader. He is younger than I am, so I don't know what the problem is. So I don't know what the problem is, but in but in any event, I hope that he will soon make some announcement.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi talking about who else? Joe Biden. And actually, her comment would be funny. I'd be laughing at it if it wasn't so sad and tragic. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in from my friend Dana Lash. And after the show, later in the day, and do what I do on the weekend, I catch up with a lot of audio from the Dana Show. Anywhere you can get a podcast, you can get a podcast, the condensed version of the program, the Dana Show, the Dana Lash Show. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. And she doesn't see what the problem is. Of course, the nervous, ridiculous laughter. Joe Biden, unfortunately, sounds like Nancy Pelosi after a bottle of Chardonnay, or maybe two bottles of Chardonnay. And he wasn't drinking anything. At least we don't think he was. Some news this hour I wanted to share, and a big hug to all the Dana Show affiliates. You guys carrying the Dana Show live. Dana does an awesome job. That's one of the reasons I chose Dana to cover our, you know, for me here in South Texas, cover our noon slot for 3 hours. We carry all 3 hours of the Dana Show here at KURV in South Texas. We've been friends for many years now. And for me, it's always an honor to fill in for Dana. But you guys who carry a portion live during the day, well, kudos, thanks to you. Dana and crew, and with Steve and my brother Sugar Cane and all the crew behind them, because they're doing online work and doing like internet cable channel stuff. They're all over the place. It's wonderful to see how her footprint is expanding online, not just the radio, but also online and on television. She does a really good job. And the crew, they do a really good job catching up with all the breaking news of the day and then, you know, cutting that down, slicing it up for you. There was this report. I noticed, let me call it up again here on my computer. U.S. drone hitting a Russian aircraft. U.S. European Command saying that it happened in the Black Sea near Ukraine. They say that the aircraft maneuvers were described as reckless, unsound, unprofessional. Da, 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 da. The drone, U.S. drone, was then taken down by American forces. There are no reports of any Russian pilot, anybody else suffering any injury as a result of that. Up in D.C., lawmakers still moving forward against Hunter Biden and business associates. Soldier on, amigos. We need full details, disclosure of anything that was on that laptop computer, on that laptop or that tablet from hell that Hunter Biden put for repair. House Republicans getting access to some financial information related to Hunter Biden and business people that were linked to him. The Treasury Department agreeing site can make some access to some suspicious activity, some suspicious financial activity. All these reports that fire up when a lot of money is moving back and forth or being deposited in accounts. Treasury Department has agreed to allow the House Oversight Committee access to some of these suspicious financial movements by Hunter Biden and some of his business associates. The activity reports, these are what the banks provide to the Treasury. It's not necessarily showing any wrongdoing. It's just it allows these lawmakers and investigators to follow the money, follow this trail of money, who brought that money in, who would deposit it, who provided that money, which business thing. I would hope that it provides information on the business dealings overseas in Ukraine, in China, and other suspicious activity that maybe a junior had access to as a result of being a privileged political person. Today is Pi Day. It's the, you know, not the delicious version, which is, for me, would be a cherry pie. That's my favorite cherry pie. It's the mathematical constant pi, the 3.14. So, by the way, funniest meme I saw this morning when they were celebrating Pi Day, somebody put that Pi Day is just a fake holiday created by math companies and nerds to sell more math. I would agree with them. So it's 3.14, and in order to get more accurate number around it, you need like 62 trillion digits after that decimal point to get closer to what the true value 3.14 is. All right, so let's talk about other numbers. What you and I are paying at the gas pump, what this energy policy under the Biden administration has done to inflation, which it all starts with energy, as I've said many, many times. It's just common sense. You and I have to pay more for energy. We have less money to buy other stuff. And the other stuff costs a lot more money because the other stuff was more expensive to send to market because diesel costs are through the roof right now. They still are through the roof. Hasn't it been crazy? Like the past several days, the price of fuel at the pump has gone like 30, 40, 50 cents up and down for over the past 4-6 weeks. Just crazy. Anyway, I want to share a conversation I had with Tim Snyder, who, you know, all of a sudden we wake up and we hear this news that the Biden administration has approved drilling in northern Alaska. Like, what? Like, let me pinch myself, make sure I'm not dreaming. Really? Did somebody just say he approved drilling? Like, drill, baby, drill in northern Alaska? Here's my friend, oil economist Tim Snyder. Amazing, I would say, even shocking news from the oil patch. Joe Biden is giving thumbs up to a major oil project, extraction project from Alaska. Tim Snyder, MatadorEconomics.com. Hey, bud, help me make sense of this. What's going on? Why is Joe Biden giving a blessing to this big project up in Canada? And, you know, he poo-poos, you know, Keystone XL and, you know, all these other jobs that are not good enough over here for the contiguous 48. He's got to go to Canada. What's going on? What's behind the scenes?
All I can say is, who the devil knows? It makes no sense. It's like they wake up in the morning and Joe Biden, you know, I guess the Metamucil did what it was supposed to do, and he decided, well, I'm in a good mood and I'm gonna make this happen today. It sounds like they're trying to prepare themselves for another run at the White House. They're trying to make themselves look friendly to the conservatives, and so they pitch them a bone. But you know, it's like the Stockholm syndrome is the best way to describe it, Sergio. They slap you on Monday or on Sunday, and then they try to hug you on Monday. And that's exactly what happened, because they tightened restrictions that limit even more drilling on federal lands. And then they turn around and grant this one particular project for ConocoPhillips. It makes you wonder if, you know, there's something going on, because none of this makes any sense.
Tell me more about that portion of Alaska, that northern portion of Alaska, and some of the oil extraction taking place up there. What's their capacity? How much are we getting for this project that has been greenlighted, which they celebrate by saying that many indigenous people in Alaska will benefit from the royalties and the blessings of the financial blessings, all the jobs created. Yeah, we sure could have used that over here with the other pipeline, Canada down to Houston. But okay, enough on that. Tell me about how rich the soil is in northern Alaska and their extraction potential up there.
Very. It's very rich. And this is a 630 million barrel project over 30 years. Sergio, that breaks down to about a little over 54,000 barrels per day in new production. That's pretty sweet. They're going to divide that Willow project up into three separate drilling sites. And they're going to, you know, do the process. Remember, we're just now starting. ConocoPhillips is just now starting on the process of what they're going to do. It's probably going to take 6 months minimum, maybe even longer. I probably would bet on longer to get things moving forward and start producing. But I'm going to tell you, that is a very highly oil-rich part of the world, something that, you know, is, you know, the minerals are owned by the state of Alaska, and that the citizens of the state of Alaska get the benefits from the sale of that crude oil. So, you know, that it's good for Alaska. It's good for their citizens. It's good for the U.S. because it is U.S. crude oil. But, you know, 57,000 barrels a day in production when you're producing in the lower 48, you know, 12.2 million barrels per day. Still kind of a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. All that comes down to us via a long pipeline, right?
Yes, sir. It certainly will. It certainly will. And, you know, we've got that Trans-Alaska pipeline right now anyway. We'll use that infrastructure, and it's something that we've needed to do. But I'll tell you what concerns me the most, Sergio, is that I've been watching the Baker Hughes rig count, and that's a terrific barometer of you know, where we actually are in growing our industry and growing our energy security in this country. And, you know, we continue to slip, and that is bothersome to me. We're not slipping in big numbers, but we're down 2 or down 3 every week, which tells us, and sometimes we're down 8 or 10, but what that tells me is that it's getting more difficult to do these projects, it's getting more expensive to do these projects, and it's taking significantly more time to get these projects, and we're not replacing wells that go offline or play out as readily as we had been in years past.
Should roughnecks in Texas and other places, other oil patches, so should they be seeking employment up in northern Alaska? Man, that's a long drive. I'm sure that they'd need more personnel up there for this new project.
Very much so. And think about this. This is a, you know, a guaranteed 30-year project. So, you know, they're going to need roughnecks. They're going to need tool pushers. They're going to need, you know, drill hand, rig hands. They're going to need all kinds of things and people that have experience. And I'm going to tell you, this is very harsh, a very harsh environment as you might expect. And so they pay well. So I would imagine we're going to probably see some, you know, some of those folks that have either left the Permian Basin or are staying in the Permian have decided, you know what, I'm tired of burning up on an oil rig down here in the Permian Basin. I'm going to go up and figure out what it feels like to freeze every winter.
The cynic in me wishes that somebody with a big, fat news budget could actually look at campaign donations for all these Democrats over the next 12 to 24 months coming in from Alaska, or any company that's associated or any supplier associated with that project up in northern Alaska.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Hey, why the prices of the pump so crazy? It's like here in my area, I see prices, they swing as much as 30, almost 40 cents from,
They are swinging. And we've got, and there's right now the thing that's driving market prices, fuel prices, and I'm talking refined products and gasoline, diesel, kerosene, jet fuel, those kinds of things. The refined products are being driven by one set of metrics, and crude oil itself is being driven by a separate set of metrics. And then we have these things like the Silicon Valley and Signature Bank failures yesterday that really gobble up our prices. You know, we had the retail prices actually, what, 318 a gallon for regular gas, so regular unleaded gasoline here in the Dallas area, and I paid, you know, 265 just 2 weeks ago.
Here. Yeah, that's crazy. And for the past 2 months, I've seen that number oscillate between north of 3 and under 3 by at least a dime or a couple of dimes. It's just crazy. Going into summer.
Yeah, they're big pumps.
Yeah, going into summer, where are we headed then as far as summer travel and the price of the pump? What's going to happen, do you think?
I think we're going to peak probably mid to late May. And then, you know, right now the economy is driving so much of this because people are very, very concerned. We're not spending the money. We're being careful where we spend the money. And, you know, it's going to be vacation time, and people are going to have to weigh whether they want to pay an exorbitant price for a plane ticket or if they're going to try to drive somewhere. They may limit their vacation expenditures this year. I think they're most concerned about the influence of where this economy is going. And granted, we got a CPI number today that came in as expected. We didn't really anticipate a big change in that. But, you know, next week's Fed number is going to add some additional concern here. You know, we're making, how do I make this? We're making decisions on the fly where we should have a program that we're following. And that has been the milieu, if you will, of the Biden administration. They just don't get it.
Oil economist, my friend Tim Snyder, MatadorEconomics.com is his website. Check out his free newsletter. This dude is spot on. I always love his insight. When it comes to economic reports, like, you know, inflation's still here. Got 6% inflation year over year. He comments on that as well. Matador, you know, like the bullfighter. Olé! MatadorEconomics.com. I was watching this report coming in from California. It looks like the state authorities are going to be charging a facility, filing charges against a nursing facility related to COVID-19, which is good to see. Any bad practice when it came to COVID in California. You know where we need to see this, I think, is in New York State. Don't you think? Governor Cuomo and his stupid policies that led to a lot of people, a lot of elderly dying in nursing homes. Yeah, that would be good to see in New York what in California they're doing right now. But go after the policymakers, and specifically him, on those orders that sent a lot of old people, a lot of elderly people to their death in nursing facilities in New York. In California, moving against a nursing facility. Speaking of Cuomo, just FYI, just a little sidebar. He might be running against Kirsten Gillibrand for the Senate. Just something to watch. This is The Dana Show reporting from South Texas.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
It's a criminal case that starts in California, California. His name is David Subill, 51-year-old guy who went to a seafood company, Arctic Seafood. This guy, complete with a truck and fake order for all sorts of Russian king crab and snow crabs, you know, that delicious stuff with melted butter. This dude drove off with almost $500,000 worth. He said he was a Safeway representative. They caught him, though. Caught him in Florida before he took a one-way flight to Colombia. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
We start with news on the economy. Breaking news. Inflation rose in February, but was in line with expectations. The consumer price index increased 0.4% for the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 6%.
A few comments from, that was off the MSNBC channel. As we oscillate, we go left and right and left and right. I would hope we stay more on the right side. Fiscal conservatism, responsible money management, responsible management at the federal level. Get rid of all the Fed. I can only dream of that. But since more than likely that won't be happening, no major changes will be happening in public schools. To train our children, to train the next generation, to think for themselves, to provide for themselves, to expect their own strength, their own talent and intelligence, to provide for themselves and the family that they bring into this world, and require, demand, participate in local, state, and federal government to rein in all that spending. I don't see that happening at the public school level, which is the next generation. And every single year, we're just producing by the millions new voters that believe that government is a solution to everything. And it's having more government is a good thing. And we should surrender more of our hard-earned cash and more of our liberties for the sake of the common good. That's the mindset. That's the leftist mindset. That is the government's apologist mindset that is perpetuated in public schools. Since that's not changing, so let me go back to my point. I don't see any of this changing. So Social Security will come. There will be a day of reckoning. And on that day of reckoning, that same population that apologized for the government, that did not vote the right representation into Washington and continued to vote the wrong representation to the White House and to their houses of representation, they will have to make a decision. Cut Social Security or tax more. Guaranteed they will tax more. Tax themselves more. Absolutely. That's where I think all this is headed, because I don't see a new generation that's being properly instructed into managing their own strength, their own intelligence, their own finances to put government in its place, a minor part of their daily life, not an all-consuming, all-responsible part of their daily life. So that's why I say that next generation could be the day of reckoning, could be 20 years. Maybe kick the can down the road, maybe 30 years, 40 years, but on that day of reckoning, when that day comes, I believe that woefully ignorant, low-information electorate, desperate electorate, will decide to tax itself more in order to keep benefits as is. And having said all that, on the retirement side, you thinking of retiring? With your IRA, 401k, whatever it is that you have. Now look at retirement. Now from my perspective, as tired as I am after a long day of doing nothing but reading and interviewing and cutting audio and doing a lot more reading and just keeping, you know, up to speed with what's taking place. I love this gig. I can't believe I make a living at this, feeding myself, feeding my family. Still talking, almost 30 years into it now. Thank you, Jesus, for this great gig. And I'm sure Dana says the same thing. And anybody who's blessed to be in media and be able to provide for themselves. And then I get tired. When I get really tired, I say, well, I don't know if I want to do this. But I still would like to be gainfully employed. Maybe not in this thing. I wouldn't mind it. But I would like to change the hours, please. Because 3 o'clock in the morning to, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. Because it never stops. News and information never stops. So I'd like to change the hours just a little bit. But I don't think I'm going to retire. I say all that because I don't think I'm going to retire. I may be forced to retire from radio if our penetration rate, which is right now in radio, that's the, you know, take the population in your county. Radio has a penetration of about 88%, 89%, 88% of the folks who are consuming meat, about 88%. They say that about 10 years, 15, 20 years, that might be down to about 60, you know, 50% based on consumption of the new media, social media. The storytellers will always be here. That's why I thank God Almighty for this opportunity to continue to be a storyteller. And the local storytellers will always be needed. But I don't want to retire because I'd like to do something daily. I think if you leave what you're doing, like you'd be a bank president. You could be an engineer for the city. Whatever it is that you're doing, which has filled your life with purpose on a daily basis, you get up, you go, you contribute. Perhaps at the end of the day, you're frustrated that you didn't finish any specific project that you were working on and you have to pick it up, shut down a certain point, get some food in your mouth, kiss your wife and babies, go to sleep, come back early in the morning, do it again. You're kind of frustrated that you don't see a closure. It takes too long to see closure for certain projects. But stop all that. Whatever it is that you're doing for a living, you're trucking, driving around, hauling stuff across the nation. You're working a specific laboratory projects over at the hospital. You are a professor working on your necessary for a 10-year, you know, research paper that you got to turn in. Stop all that. Just stop it. It ends today. Like, this afternoon will be your last day. That's it. You're done. You're not coming back the next day. For some of you, you're feeling it, right? An emptiness, a void. That's what I think. If something like that were to happen to me here at the radio station, there's a void, isn't it? I'd like to do something else. Whether it's a Walmart greeter or do they have Target greeters? Target? Well, I'll make one up. I'll go work at Target. Or at Walmart. No, I don't want to work at Target. I want to work at Walmart. Or some other way. Just do something. Go to the hospital and wheel people around in a wheelchair, people coming in and out of the hospital. Just all of us, I think, want a sense of purpose. It requires that we be active in something. That's why I don't see myself retiring. Now, there was this report from Paychex that caught my eye. I want to share with you. That said a growing number of folks who are retired are considering leaving retirement. Paychex did the study. People out of the workforce for an average of 4 years, they are listing the top concern for them is the fact that they need more money. Whatever it is that they're receiving from that retirement account is not enough. Again, you and I are paying 15% right now compared to 24 months ago. We're paying at least 15% on everything compared to 24 months ago. And that number's not improving, especially under Bidenflation, under this administration. Amigo, we got 2 more years under this genius, I could call them something else, who's driven our country into the ground. And it all starts with energy policy, as I've mentioned many times before, just the delivery to market, the diesel cost, how uber expensive that is right now. And it's not going to get any better. Despite all these little things you hear about him wanting to drill in Alaska. Folks who are retired, they need more money because it ain't coming in. Look, we've lost about 20-25% of stock market value since this dude went into the White House. That's affecting how much the IRAs are paying out, how much the 401ks are paying out, all these retirement savings. The only thing being adjusted for inflation what was it, like 6-7% is the Social Security check if they're getting that as a portion of their monthly earning. The other in this paychecks study, this conversation I had with folks who have been out of the market, out of the workforce for 4 years or more in their study, what I was telling you before, which is being a part of something, feeling that you're a part of something, being a part of a project, having that reward of a daily reward of completing a task, completing a project. Yeah, that was second right now. We have jumped from boredom to loneliness, to the number one problem for retirement being the fact that they cannot afford retirement. It's too expensive. 24 months ago, we were paying 15% less. And 12 more months, add another what? Another 6%, 5% to that. So by this time next year, we could easily say we are now spending about 20% plus more than we did 3 years ago. That's why retirees are thinking about unretiring and going back to the workforce to do something to get some extra cash to pay for some of that dinner money they want to pay with Sweetie. They want to go out with Sweetie on a Friday night. 20 minutes after the hour, this is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online, Sergio at KURV.com or on Twitter at Sergio Talk.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The Dana Show reporting to you from South Texas. General Motors in the middle of buyouts for hundreds of full-time employees, hoping to save billions on payroll. This headline coming as Ford Motor Company saying they need to lay off about 1,100 workers in their international workforce in order to try to save billions of dollars as well. From Wallet Hub, they're declaring the city of McAllen, Texas, that, hey, that's where I'm broadcasting from today, fattest, most overweight, most obese city in our nation. Yet again, we've made that number one. Next to that, Memphis, and then Mobile, complimenting McAllen. I say because the food is just so good down here. 45% obese, 37% physically inactive in McAllen, Texas. You're listening to The Dana Show from, what do I call us now? Fattyville, McFatty Face, Texas, McAllen, Texas. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Stick around. We got Chris Markowski, Watchdog on Wall Street, up next.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
We should be, the government should be complimented in the way that they put together protecting the depositors, both those that are insured, those that were not insured. How we were able to protect jobs and how we were able to get those payrolls done so that these owners of these small tech companies could pay their staffs, et cetera. We did a miraculous job.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Maxine Waters and all the geniuses that have saved us all, saving us all yet again. Man, thank you, Steve-O. Man, a little Tom Sawyer coming back from break. Oh, man. I'll continue using that as my theme song for my show here in South Texas, as long as people don't call up and say, hey, you can't be using that anymore. Yeah, that's the genius Maxine Waters and, of course, the government that is here to save us all. So it's time to talk about your money. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And you want to say hi online, Sergio at KURV.com or at Sergio Talk. And for all Dana Show affiliates, you guys, program directors listening in right now, 710 KURV here in South Texas. We're a proud affiliate of Dana, a dear friend. And I'm also very, very proud to introduce right now Chris Markowski, the Watchdog on Wall Street. We carry Chris weekends here on talk radio here in South Texas. This dude's a genius. Chris, I want to get your quick opinion before we start talking about inflation. And, of course, this Silicon Valley Bank I never heard of before, that obviously people on the inside in Silicon Valley heard of it, and this thing going belly up. I want to get your quick opinion on my new savings plan. I bought a brand new mattress this weekend. I'm going to use it to stuff all my money and silver coins in from this point out. I want to get your quick thoughts on that.
Well, you know, the reality, Sergio, is if Silicon Valley Bank had done that, back when I was younger, it was, my grandfather used to have like the pipe tobacco, the Prince Albert stuff, and we used to keep money in that. They would have been better off than going out and deciding to buy 30-year treasuries at 1.5%. So your mattress idea would have been great for Silicon Valley.
What went wrong with these people, this Silicon Valley Bank? Just explain it to working people who are working hard right now, trying to pay the bills and shave off some gold to give it to Uncle Sam to pay a portion of all the debt that they have us in right now. So explain it to us. What happened to Silicon Valley?
Yeah, they're just greedy idiots. Quite frankly, I took a look at the books of this thing, and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away that they were actually taking and going out and buying all of this long duration paper at 1.5%. Then on top of it, they didn't sell when the Fed said, "Hey, you know what, guys, we're going to start raising rates." I think they telegraphed that pretty much over the past 12 months, and they could have come out at a much smaller loss. They chose not to do so. And again, it boggles the mind at the utter stupidity of the people that are over there at that bank. It's really tough.
Chris Markowski, watchdog on Wall Street. We're talking about this Silicon Valley Bank going belly up. There's another bank elsewhere that went belly up. You know, for working people.
That was Signature Bank. And guess who was on the board of directors of Signature Bank?
Barney Frank. Right?
Yes, from Dodd-Frank. Yes, he was, the big guru in bank regulations. He missed it.
What people want to know, if these banks that went belly up these past several days, if that means their bank is going to suffer the same fate. I think if we just shut it down to the cop, that's what folks want to know.
I think that's silly. I mean, again, you have to know who you're doing business with. And let's be honest here. You played the Maxine Waters clip coming in like, "Here I come to save the day. And we saved the people and we saved the payrolls." This is so much horse manure flying on right now. Silicon Valley Bank, they weren't managing the bank accounts for the grounds crew and the people cleaning the bathrooms. 90% of their deposits were above the $250,000 FDIC limit. This was nothing but rich people from Silicon Valley, the whole startup crowd, the crowd that continues to donate tons of money to the donkeys on a regular basis. That's why they broke the rules. Don't let them think, "Oh, we saved all these companies." Not to mention the fact that the idea that these companies would have gone out of business if the government didn't step in, baloney. They could have just gone to their venture capital people and they could have given them the money. They funded them so far. You think they're going to let all of these banks fail? No, but they didn't want their position to be diluted. They didn't want, because they had to raise more money, they had to issue more stock from these VC companies. They didn't want to lose money. So, hey, you know what? Oh, I know the taxpayer's not paying for it. Yes, you are, because guess what? Your banks out there are going to have to put more money into the FDIC, and that's going to filter down to your bank fees.
I think that's important for you to flesh out. Folks understand how banks, they pay into this piggy bank, this FDIC piggy bank, that's supposed to cover the $250K for all these failed accounts. Explain real quick how that works.
Well, again, it's an insurance plan. You go to your bank and see FDIC insured. So if you have under $250,000 in your bank, it's covered if the bank were to have to go under. So again, if you're smart and if you have more than enough money, again, I would highly recommend instead putting it more into a brokerage account where they can give you a lot more protection, but you don't go over that dollar amount and you're going to be just fine. But the banks pay into this insurance fund, and where do the banks get it from? They get it from you, in the fees that you pay. So again, yes, you're going to pay for this.
It's an insurance policy. It's not a minimum amount of liquidity, $250K per customer. It's an insurance policy. And as you said, it's paid by the fees that we pay. Chris Markowski, watchdog on Wall Street. Yeah, we're looking at that Silicon Valley Bank thing, that belly up. Hey, man, is it true? This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And for my friend Dana, is it true that Silicon Valley Bank invested heavily into crypto, maybe 1/5 or 1/4 at one time their investment was in crypto. Is it true?
I don't know what exactly was in their position. I know that they were funding many crypto startups. Without a doubt. I don't know, what type of position they may have taken in that. I don't know if they even still have that on the books. But what's kind of odd about this is they didn't even have a risk management officer. She left last April, and they didn't replace her. So, and again, where is she? I don't know. Did they hide her on some sort of island in the South Pacific? How come we don't have a microphone in front of her right now asking her why she left? Something's rotten here. So, the fact that they may have gotten a little bit nuts listening to Matt Damon and Larry David, Fortune Favors the Brave, is a possibility.
Back in, what was the year? I had it here in my notes. 2005, 2006. That was the last adjustment to this $250,000 per account insurance. Man, you adjust that for inflation and by American standards, we can call this hyperinflation. We're paying 15% more right now than we were 24 months ago, if you consider the 9% last year and the 6% up to date right now, year to year. You adjust for inflation, that's like $377,000 per account that should be offered per failed account. How's that figure going to be changed? I suspect that somebody might be pushing to change that near future, put more money in the piggy bank and into that insurance fund.
Maybe. I don't even really think it's necessary. I really don't, because it's not like you're limited to one account. You can open up another account, and that one is going to be insured up to $250,000. It's not per individual throughout the entire country. I run an investment firm, and we insure assets, and obviously it's different because we utilize SIPC, and it's a brokerage type of a situation. It's a registered investment advisory. We insure well over $100 million for every single account, so that there's plenty of ways that you can protect your assets.
Money Pro professional money manager Chris Markowski joining me. What do you make of all these media reports and these, as I call them, meat puppets parroting the same thing hour by hour? It's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault. Deregulation. Your comments on that?
Yeah, do you remember when we were kids, used to watch the Peanuts when the adults would talk? Wah, 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 wah. It's starting to sound like that. It's almost, it's just like static to me at this point in time. You get, Robert Reich coming out, Clinton's labor secretary, commenting on this. And again, you take a look at these people that are making these comments. They really don't have much of a clue or much understanding of what exactly happened. What's funny is that they try to say, Trump did away with some of the regulations from Dodd-Frank. Nothing to do, wouldn't have stopped anything that happened here. And guess what? If it was so bad, hey, Biden's president, he could have reversed it.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget, Barney Frank was sitting on the other bank that went belly up just a few days back. Get your dog bones real quick. Watchdog on Wall Street, Chris Markowski. Get your dog bones real quick. Throw them on the floor. Inflation. So year to year, we're at 6% right now. 1 year from now, what's your guess, man? Where are we going to be?
I think we're going to be much, much lower from here. I think it's a lot to do with real estate. I also hope that, we can kind of deal with some of these avian flu issues as well to get egg prices down, and that will filter into other things. But again, it does take some time. It doesn't happen overnight. I do happen to think that where rates are right now, where the Fed has got them, I think it's fair. This is not high rates by any stretch of the imagination. This is normalization. It actually makes my job much easier, and it's actually good for long-term investors and retirees that they can actually get some return on cash and cash equivalents. Not a bad thing. I really don't think that the Fed's going to be able to go much, much higher. I think we don't have so much of a demand problem. We have a supply problem, and that needs to be dealt with in D.C. We need more energy. We need more farms. We need a lot more. And what we need to do is get the government out of the way so we can make that possible.
Speaking of supply, man, the money supply is just crazy. It's just way too much cash. All these trillions and trillions upon dollars. And the mindset from D.C. that They're used to it, and they're expecting it. The latest budget from Biden, expecting trillion-plus dollars in debt every single year for the next 10, 20, 30 years. And it's like there's no end in sight. Brother, what needs to happen to fix this financial house of ours? Because up in D.C., they're stealing us blind, man. It's a house of cards, and it's going to come crumbling down sometime in the future if we don't change things.
You get the government you deserve. We continue to vote for these people. We continue to look to say, hey, this one's an elephant, this one's a donkey, and that's the choices we make. A very few out there that are actually calling for a balanced budget amendment, Rand Paul being one of them. Tom Coburn used to do it as well. Those are the types of people that we need, people that actually understand that, you know what, there has to be a limit on what we spend. It's almost like we need to get back to a constitutional convention and have a balanced budget amendment put in there. I mean, I would love that. I mean, I really would. If the founders missed that one.
Yeah, pal. And as I said at the beginning monologue, we got way, way too many low information voters. And come that day of reckoning when Social Security say, hey, we're out of cash, we're out of money, I guarantee you, double dog, triple dog, dare guarantee you that, man, the American low information electorate, yes, that deserves the government that we have right now because they keep voting these clowns in every single cycle. They will vote to increase taxes on everyone before they decide to get a smaller paycheck from Social Security. Will Social Security survive, in your opinion? I'll let you go with that last question.
Will it survive? I think that there's going to be massive cuts on the way. There has to be. That's what's been happening over in Europe. You go back to 2010 when they had their crisis over there. The countries over there have gotten a lot smaller. We're witnessing what's taking place in France right now, and they're pushing back because they want to raise the age. You can look to FDR for crying out loud. FDR told everybody that the entire system needed to go private. Okay, go read his writings. He knew that had to go private. Yeah, yeah. He knew that it wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, that's why they will vote for tax increases before they vote for any cuts. I'm convinced of it. Chris, as always, thank you. It's a pleasure. Appreciate your insight. Look for him on many Dana affiliates as well. They carry the Watchdog on Wall Street, Chris Markowski. Bless you, my brother. You stay safe. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. You want to say hi online, Sergio@KURV.com. That's Sergio@KURV.com. Or join us on Twitter at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
From South Texas. Hey, it's still Texas. It's blessed soil. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Dana's out taking advantage of, I guess, one of the final few spring breaks, right? I saw her. It's not like I'm saying anything private. She posted online. She's taking advantage of a spring break at one of her young ones. But not so young anymore. Taking a break from spring break out in college, I'm guessing, and taking care of some family time. Oh, man, I've got a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old. You've been listening long enough, I talk about them every now and then. And of late, especially with my 15-year-old, the dude is taller than I am now. You know, I'm not that tall, 5'9", 5'10", but the dude's already taller than me. It's still growing at 15. And all I have to say, if you're a new parent, you're one of or smarter than the average radio listening bear millennials, and you guys still having kids, take a lot of pictures, take as much as you can, even simple moments, like when they sit down for dinner with you, or when they're playing with toys, or they're outside playing, or they're at the park, just simple things. I took a lot of video. I took a lot of pictures of my babies, and my wife and I, Deli and I, we enjoy those pictures. But I wish I had done more, honestly. So heart to heart, the only advice I'd give you right now, if you're a new parent and you got, especially if that little crumb muncher just popped out a few days back, that little one will morph every single day. So every day, in fact, I would put a security camera on top of the crib and just let it roll 24/7, store all that data, and you'll see how that baby morphs over just a few days. So Dana's taking advantage of some family time. Lord bless you, Dana. You be safe out there. And for new parents, you guys take a lot of pictures and take a lot more than I do. I wish I had more. I can't get enough of that, those baby pictures, little kid pictures of my 15-year-old and my 10-year-old baby as well. Music revenue reaching an all-time high, $15.9 billion, according to the Record Industry Association of Merck. And for my Catholic family, especially my Irish Catholic family, top of the morning or top of the afternoon. This note from Philadelphia, Catholics in Pennsylvania, most specifically Philly, Catholics who wish to properly celebrate St. Patrick's Day during Lent, you guys are permitted to do so. Corned beef will be on the menu, says the Archdiocese over at Philadelphia. Corned beef, the St. Patrick's Day tradition. Of course, St. Patrick's Day falls on Friday. Of course, Friday is the day that some of y'all Catholics, you guys do without beef. So the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has granted an exception for this Friday. Now, corned beef is the only exception, okay? Shepherd's pie is not on there, another type of beef product. And no, if you're Catholic in another part of the country, this is only for Philadelphia. I think that's the limitation. Sergio at KURV.com or at Sergio Talk on Twitter. This is The Dana Show. Have a wonderful evening.